The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m.
In the book of Psalms, we find an important reminder that God is providentially working in the lives of His elect children. Found in Psalm 31, verse 15, we read the following statement. My times are in thy hands. This verse points us to the providence of God that works in our earthly lives. Join us today as we explore the meaning of this verse and the comfort we should draw from knowing that God is watching over us.
In this world we shall have tribulation.
In Psalm 31 and verse 15, we read this from the psalmist David. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. My times are in thy hands. This verse invokes and points us to the providence of God in the times of our life. The word time there, that's translated times, it can mean time in general, but it also can point us to the time of an event. It can point to experiences or occurrences or occasions. It can point us to the things that come into our lives. Sometimes I call those seasons of our lives, okay? Seasons. And here we see that the times, David says, my times the times of my life, the events of my life, the experiences of my life, the fortunes of my life, the occurrences of my life are in thy hands. Now, what are we talking about here? It's important that we understand, that we distinguish God's working in the midst of our lives and his causing things that happen in our lives. We are not absoluters. We do not believe in the absolute predestination of all things. That's something this church got into for many decades, and it caused a lot of problems and misunderstanding. There are many out there that believe God is orchestrating and causing everything that happens, okay? That's not where we're going with this morning, because that is not true. That is not the case. But nevertheless, the times of my life are in God's hands. Nevertheless, even though he may not be causing all the sin and all the wickedness and all the troubles even that occur in my life, nonetheless, in the midst of these, the times that I'm going through are in the hands of God. I am in God's hands. Okay, now there's a context here that we need to look at. There's a context. If you go all the way back, you'll see he begins in this chapter saying, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness." And he's calling upon God. He says in verse 3, God is his rock and his fortress, okay? And he's asking God to lead him. But look down in verse 9. Notice where David is as he cries out, "My times are in thy hand." He said, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eyes consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly." This is a time in David's life of great trouble. This is a time when he is struggling. It says it's so bad that his eyes consumed with grief. What he's given us a picture of there is just he's weeping constantly. He's overcome. He said, "For my life is spent with grief," verse 10. "And my years with sighing, my strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed." This is a bad time of trouble for David. This is a time where David, it says in verse 11, was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I don't know what exactly is going on in David's life at this time, but it's a bad time. It may be one of the times when he was fleeing from one of his sons that was trying to overtake him in the kingdom. Absalom, as you recall, almost overthrew David as king. He said, verse 12, "I am forgotten as a dead man, out of mind. I am like a broken vessel." Have you ever felt like you were a broken vessel? Have you ever just felt broken inside? David did. You're in good company. I have. I think if we'd all be honest, we've all experienced the brokenness, the kind of thing Brother John Morgan was talking about, that if nothing else, when we come to Christ and understand that he is the perfect one, when we've been regenerated by God, and then we see Christ as our only hope of salvation, you can't come to Christ as a big buddy in the sky and say, "Hey, let's you and me fix this thing." You go to Christ. If you go to Christ in understanding who you are and where you are, beloved, you only come to him in brokenness, you see. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Now remember, you know we're talking about children of God here who have already been regenerated. Not talking about coming to him to get born again or coming to him to become a child of God. Talking about children of God. You see, not everybody's laboring out there. Not everybody's heavy laden. But there are those of God's children who have been regenerated, who've been born again, and they see themselves as the sinners that they are, and they are broken vessels. And beloved, when you're a broken vessel, you're probably of the most service to God you could ever be. When you think you're some perfect, prideful, lifted up vessel, beloved, God's almost going to laugh at you, if you will. But see, here David, he said, I'm like a broken vessel. For I've heard the slander of many. You ever heard reports about people telling lies on you? I've been there. Hey, in the age, praise the Lord. When I grew up, there was no Facebook. You know, as I heard a comedian say one time, he said, "All the things I did in high school are just a rumor." You know, praise God for that. You know, but think about Facebook. Think about social media and all the things that there are things that can get going on social media. That's why. In so many ways, we read about children, young people in their early teens and even later teens that commit suicide over things, over bullying that occurs on Facebook. You see, when I was in school, I could be bullied at school, but I could come home and get away from it. But nowadays, you can't do that, you see. And sometimes things on social media and out there on the internet and just maybe just rumors going around in the community. David said, "I've heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God," and here's our verse, "my times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. My times, okay, that's the context. These are troubled times, okay? But listen to what he's saying here. He's saying, my times of trouble are in God's hands, okay? And even if you go back further, back up to verse 5, notice what he says in verse 5, "Into thine hand I commit my spirit." Okay, that's a messianic prophecy. You go over to Luke chapter 23 and you're going to read Christ saying that. So in a sense, David here, in a prophetic way, is identifying with the sufferings of Christ in this messianic prophecy. But maybe we could say it even better than that. Maybe we ought to say it this way. We learn from Scripture that Christ identifies with our sufferings, okay? Remember over in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, "For we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." You know, it helps me when I hear about somebody that's experiencing the same problem that I'm experiencing. You know, when I was having knee surgery a few weeks ago, I talked to other people who'd had that same kind of knee surgery. It helped my feelings a little bit. They told me the good and the bad and the ugly, you know. That's one reason that when these young ladies who are going to have their first child, they like to talk to their mama or some other older lady who's been through childbirth before in order to get some reassurance. Well, beloved, we've got the greatest assurer that we could possibly have in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is not one thing you can go through in life that he has not been touched by in the sufferings that he endured here on this earth. Whether it's physical, what pain he went through, I don't believe there's anybody who ever lived who could have lived as long physically as he did with the torture that he experienced. He said, "You can tell all my bones." You could count his bones. That's how that whip that lashed his back, that whip dug furrows in his back and on his body just like the plower plows in the field out there. And by the time he hung on the cross, he was stripped naked. He was hung there as a spectacle for all persons to see. He had a crown of thorns and the physical suffering that he endured. If you go read Psalm 22 sometime, you'll see it from a first person account. He's saying, "This is what happened to me," and just the physical suffering would have killed me a long time before he ever died. But he was God in the flesh. And it was his time was in his own hands. My times aren't in my hands. But praise God, my times are in his hands, you see. Christ said then, because he's all in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we might find grace to help in time of need." Our times of trouble are in his hands. Our times of triumph are in his hands, okay? We're told in Psalm 68, verse 19, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." You know, are you experiencing a time of great triumph, if you will, enjoying life, things are going well for you, then praise God for it. We're told in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. In every place in life, when we experience triumph in Christ, it's a gift of God. Jesus told his disciples in John 16 and verse 33, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. When we triumph in life, when we're on the mountaintop of life, we can praise God for that. Our times are in his hands. He has blessed us in a providential way. Listen, the times of our life are in God's hands. Now, just because we don't believe God is causing all the times and all the things of our lives to happen doesn't mean that we don't believe he's at work among all the times of our lives. Isn't that what Job experienced? Job's probably the best example of that I know. Satan was causing all of Job's troubles, but God was bringing the solution. God was ultimately, in that matter, protecting Job. He would only let Satan go to a certain extent. He set the boundary there. And ultimately, God suffered those things to come into his life so that he could bring him to a better time of life. Think about this. Job was ultimately better off in a material or physical sense for all the sufferings that he endured. Let's just turn back over there. It's just a few pages. In Job 42, look at what we see here in Job chapter 42 and verse 12. It says, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. And he goes on to tell what all he had. He had more material things. He had more children. Now look, all the sufferings were real. And that's not to say that, oh, well, now I've got more children, I'm not worried about the children I lost. No, he still grieved over that, but God did not leave him in his grief. Beloved, I don't know what you're experiencing today. Maybe it's grief. Maybe it's grief over a loved one. Maybe it's a grief over death. Maybe it's a grief over sickness. But beloved, God did not leave Job in his grief, and he will not leave you in your grief. Now look, it may be that the time of greatest joy for sure is the time when we go home to be with him. You may struggle and you will struggle in this life. In this life you shall have tribulations, but he has overcome the world. He did not leave Job in his grief. He blessed the latter end more than his beginning. He had better times after than he had ever had before. And also Job was ultimately better off spiritually for all the suffering that he endured. He had more spiritual insight than he had before. If you look back to chapter 23 of Job, and you'll see some things that Job had in his life that weren't good things. He was prideful. He was lifted up with pride. He was like, I can handle this myself. Look at chapter 23 and verse 1. This is sort of the culmination, if you will, of the pride of Job. He said, Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Beloved, sometimes your stroke, that is what you're being, you feel like it's the stroke in the sense of a chastening or maybe somebody striking you with a rod. Sometimes that feels heavier than all the groaning of your life. But look at what Job said. This is how I'm going to fix things, Job thinks. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, speaking of God, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer unto me and understand what he would say unto me. Beloved, he says, I'm going to march right up to the throne of God if I could just find it, and I'll plead my cause before God. I'll say, God, here's what's happening to me. Here's what you're doing to me. See, Job began to kind of blame God for some of this. He said, I'm going to fill my mouth with arguments to state my case before God. That's kind of the height of pride, isn't it? We'll turn back over to chapter 42. And look at what's happened here when it says in verse 1, it says, then Job answered the Lord. This is after God showed up and asked Job a bunch of questions that Job never could answer. Where were you when I created this world? Where were you when I told the sea it could come this far and no further? It says, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not. Things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. He said, I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me. Now listen, here's what he's repeating there, what he had said. Now look at verse 5. I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Job said, you know, I thought I was going to have some arguments to present before you, God, but I see now that I was talking about something that I didn't understand. I was getting into things too high for me. David said, I'm not going to delve into the things that are too high for me. I'm just going to trust God and his word. And notice, though, verse 5, I've always thought this was one of the keys to understanding Job's latter end. He said, I've heard of thee, speaking of God, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. He'd heard about God. And he prayed to God. He was constantly diligent to pray to God. You know, whatever written word they might have had at the time, which I don't know what it would have been, maybe nothing. You know, the book of Job was the first book of the Bible written, okay? So Job didn't even have his own book to read. But he'd heard of God. He said, but now mine eye seeth thee. You know, I'll say to you this based on my own experience, and I'm not up here to just preach my experience, but we've all had experiences with God. I had heard of God before I was tried in the crucible of life's troubles. But after I was tried in the storms of life, after the storms of life threatened to overthrow my ship, and God through His Spirit just kind of climbed on board with me and weathered the storm with me and got me through that, beloved, now mine eyes have seen Him. I have seen what God can do. You know, I've heard about it, but when we get into the crucible of persecution and pain and suffering, it's those times when we see God the clearest. I've said this before. I believe I preached it here. Beloved, I believe the best time of the life of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was not in the times after they were delivered from the flames or sometime before. It was while they were in the fire. Because in the fire, Jesus was walking with them and talking with them. The king looked down and said, I thought we threw three men in, but I see four down there. And by the way, that fourth one is like the Son of God. Beloved, the Son of God was in the fire with them. Beloved, the Son of God will be with you in the fire. Your times are in His hands. He is there with you. He will providentially provide for you. He will providentially take care of you. And He will walk with you through it. Sometimes He stilled the storm on the waters. But sometimes He just rides it out with us. You see. Sometimes He just rides it out. Our times are in His hand. Now, as we close, I want to just kind of point us to one other thought here. Our times are in His hands, but God has a time. God has a time. In His providential dealings with us, God has a time. That time comes often in this life. You go back sometime to Genesis chapter 6, 7, and 8, and you're going to read about the flood. Genesis chapter 7 and verse 17 tells us that the flood was 40 days and 40 nights upon the earth. The rain was 40 days and 40 nights upon the earth. But the rain stopped on the 41st day. We read in chapter 8 and verse 1, God remembered Noah. Okay? You go back to 1 Samuel chapter 17 and you read about a giant named Goliath who taunted the children of God for 40 days. He marched down into that valley and even began to come up on the other side, cursing their God and swearing before them and threatening them and terrifying them. For 40 days, Goliath the giant taunted the children of Israel. But then came the 41st day, and he was slain. He fell on the 41st day. Jesus was tempted by the devil for 40 days in the wilderness. On the 41st day, the angels came and ministered unto him, and the devil fled. Moses committed murder and was banished to the wilderness for 40 years. Banished to the desert over there. But in the 41st year, God sent him to be the deliverer of Israel. The Israelites, under the chastening of God, wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. But in the 41st year, they entered the promised land. What's your point, preacher? My point is, you may have 40 days of trouble, but there's always going to be a 41st day. God, you know, sometimes we want to give up. We want to give up on that 30th day, the 31st, the 35th day, the 40th day. But you know, after 120 years of preaching that there was going to be rain, there came the 120th year plus one where the rain actually started. See, God is with us, you see. Now look, I'm not preaching some kind of, oh, he's going to deliver you every time in a material or earthly way. I'm not telling you that. But I'm telling you, child of God, that whatever you're experiencing here in this life, there's a great phrase in the Bible that I love, and it came to pass. Everything in this life comes to pass. It will pass, beloved. It may not pass until you step through the portals of death into life everlasting, but beloved, that's all right. There was a beggar named Lazarus who spent his entire life there at the doorway at the gates of the rich man who did not care for him, did not even pay him any attention. The dogs came and licked the sores of Lazarus. Beloved, how much lower can you get in this life than being laying at the door of the rich man's gate while the dogs come and lick your sores? But it says he died and was carried by the angels into the bosom of Abraham. Beloved, that day came. He lived all of his life in trouble, but one day he was delivered. Beloved, one day we'll be delivered. Sometimes that time of deliverance comes in this life, but sometimes it doesn't come till the next life. But praise God, it comes. It comes. Our times are in his hands. He is with us. And they may say, there may be scoffers, as 2 Peter tells us in chapter 3, that say, ah, where is the promise of his coming? Things are just like they've always been. But he said, God is not slack concerning his promise. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Beloved, who is he talking about there? He's talking about you and I, his children that he loved before the foundation of the world. Take heart, child of God. Take heart, for there's going to be a time when we are delivered from whatever it is that afflicts us. The song that Brother Tim wrote about our redemption, it's page 440 in our book. It says, in this world we shall have tribulation. The words of the Savior are true, but look to the skies, weary Christian. Redemption draws nigh unto you. Do you long to be freed from your prison? Like a bird from a cage you will fly. One word from the Savior descending, you'll be changed in the blink of an eye. And the chorus, look up to the skies, weary Christian. Lift up your sorrow-filled eyes. He cometh with clouds and great glory. Look up, your redemption draws nigh. See, that's the time that is in his hands that will deliver us from all the troubles that we experience in this land of sorrow. Praise God, our times are in his hands. I appreciate your kind attention this morning.
Thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow when we'll present another message of God's sovereign grace. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com, where you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter jchrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.